Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm speaking with Keith McKnight. He's the new CEO of Group 6 Metals. ASX code is G6M. Some of you may remember my conversation with Johan Jakobs, which was a year, I cannot believe it was a year ago, when they were known as King Island Scheelite. Same company, different name, new CEO. He's Irish. Hey, Keith, welcome to Small Caps. Three Irishmen walked into a bar and...
It's okay, Kerry. I've heard them all. Please don't.
First time we meet and he cuts me off. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. Oh, we've got to get into the crux of the business. Well, it's always nice to chat to an Irish. I love Ireland. I love the Irish people. But more importantly, Group 6 Metals, you're coming into a very interesting part of the company's development, which I'll get into in a minute, which is the construction and development. But for those that may have missed, because we haven't spoken to you for a while, give a brief overview of Group 6 Metals, the project, and what it is.
So Group 6 Metals, it was previously known as King Island Scheelite, and it underwent a name change late last year. And really, the name change was just basically a little bit of diversification away from just specifically King Island, because hopefully in the future, you know, we've hopes that we may look at other projects and other developments. But, you know, right now we're focused on the Dolphin Tungsten Mine. So the Dolphin Tungsten Mine is located on King Island, which is on the northwest coast of Tasmania. And the mine previously operated from about 1916 to the 1990s, where it ceased operation, but approximately about 10 million tons of ore remaining, and it stopped operation due to low tungsten prices. We've just commenced redevelopment of the mine. We started our earthworks in January, and we've hopes to deliver our first concentrate early next year.
And you joined the company late last year, so we're early into 2022. What attracted you to this project? What's brought Keith McKnight to Group 6M Metals?
Well, I've known the board and specifically the chairman, Johan, for about 2.5 years. And Johan has been working tirelessly since that time and before to fund the project.
Yeah.
So they completed their funding package late last year with a total of $88 million available for the project. It's one of the highest grade tungsten projects in the Western world, which means that it's a low risk development and would be lower on the cost curve for operational costs. And it's got a strong shareholder base. The top four, along with Pure Asset Management, have contributed up to $46 million of project debt to the project. And it's very well supported on the island and locally in Tasmania. Like the Tasmanian government have given it a loan of $10 million to fund the development, and have also given a grant to Hydro Tasmania to upgrade the electrical infrastructure on the island. So it's an extremely well-supported project with very attractive economics.
You mentioned that it's very high grade, which I'll get into in a minute, but you're coming into the construction phase. From an investor point of view, how is that coming along? Give us a little bit of a timeline with the construction, because obviously from construction you go into production. What's your length of time? Yes. Are there any challenges around that? Because you know what? Everybody knows at the moment we're just coming out of the 2 years of the pandemic. There are a little bit of supply chain issues. So in the construction phase, just give us an idea of how that's moving along and if you've got any challenges there.
Look, we're also experiencing challenges. As you pointed out, we've kind of really got into the earthworks and construction activities in January of this year. We've experienced delays for yellow equipment. We've also experienced challenges with recruitment and look, also some challenges around freight and diesel costs. Now, look, the first three, the site team have been working really hard, and we've managed to largely mitigate that through the hire of equipment to substitute until delivery of our own owner equipment. We've also looked to employ people on the island and implement training to fill labor gaps. So look, we are mitigating those challenges, but there are challenges in the current environment. Around the construction milestone dates, we've just completed the earthworks for our process plant in anticipation for the start of civil works, which we hope to start in the second half of April. And then I think the next key milestone is for Gecko Systems, who are our EPC contractor for the process plant, to commence mechanical erection in late May. So I think, you know, in the next few months, they're the key milestones. And as we work through the construction of the process plant, the other mine associated infrastructure will be developed in parallel. And that includes the tailings storage facility, water supply systems, electrical infrastructure, administration buildings and workshops. So yeah, I think the team is well established now. We've kind of had a big increase in personnel on the site, and I think we're well set to achieve those near-term milestones.
You mentioned two things that I'm always curious about, electricity and water. So yes, with the power, is that challenging for you? Talk to us about how, and is it one of these things where you're going to need a lot of power, and does that eat up a lot of costs?
Well, we're fortunate enough that we can get access to the King Island grid on King Island. So as I previously mentioned, the Tasmanian government have given a grant of $2 million to fund that connection. And look, that's pretty attractive to us too, because the King Island energy mix is made up of green renewable energy, which includes wind, solar, and there's some battery storage. And they also supplement that with some diesel generation. So we hope to be able to kind of use that additional renewable energy when the peak demand when there's lower demand on the island. So I think we've been very fortunate around power that we can connect to the grid. And with regard to water, we've got a lot of water storage. You know, while we have a license to take water, we have a lot of water storage in the underground workings in the mine. So we believe we've got sufficient water there to kind of continue operating the mine site and specifically the process plant.
So that's water from the previous time when it was mined, and that's sitting in the lower part of the mine, and you'll be able to
see. Yeah.
So what you're saying to me then is you're reuse that water where it's needed in the mine, is that correct? So that must be saving you a bit of costs there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of it's water storage that's existing at the mine site. A lot of mines sometimes have to create water storage or maybe have to install long pipelines to access water. So yeah, look, it is a very fortunate aspect of the project, you know.
One of the things earlier you said that this project is one of the highest grades of tungsten globally. Does Yes. that mean that you've got a lot of it already taken with offtake partners as you start to ramp up into production? Where are you up at to with that?
Yeah, so before I go into that, I mean, the highest, being a high grade, I think, it's really relates to cost. You've got to recover less ore to from the mine site to produce the same amount of metal as we'll say a lower grade deposit. And just to put that in context, most recently operating tungsten deposits or tungsten deposits that are due to come into operation in the next couple of years are typically sit below 0.6%. And okay, our average grade is 0.9. So we're 50% higher grade than most. And most are below 0.4, you know, and lower. So we've got a very high grade, you know, which kind of is lower risk, lower operating cost. With regard to our offtake agreements, we've currently entered into agreements with Traxys and Wolfram for about 65 to 70% of our forecast production. These offtake agreements, obviously, it's good to have these agreements in place for project financing purposes. We do have the option to place more in offtake agreements or potentially sell in the spot market. So we're currently, you know, finalizing our strategy around that, and we'll engage with potential offtake partners, you know, in the next couple of months.
Just remind our audience as well, tungsten's usage and is growing in its importance. It's under the critical minerals banner, I guess, if you like. Where has tungsten come from in the past? Where's the gap that Group 6 Metals is going to be filling?
So, look, primarily, you know, around 80 to 83% of tungsten is produced from China. You know, so, you know, with that potential supply chain risk and due to tungsten's economic importance, tungsten has been classified as a critical mineral going forward. So, you know, Dolphin is proposing to supply up to 3% of the Western supply of tungsten. And it's typically used, conventionally, it's used in automobile manufacturing, you know, oil and gas in drilling, cutting tools in oil and gas, also in the defense industry. But also there's some new exciting uses of tungsten coming out now, like in tungsten hexafluoride gas, which is used in the semiconductor industry. And that usage is projected to grow around 18% CAGR over the next 5 to 6 years. So while there's, you know, there's current traditional uses will result in increased demand, there's also exciting new uses coming online as well.
Has the price been getting stronger? What's the market look like from a price point of view? And has that changed the economics for the Dolphin tungsten mine?
Oh, significantly, yes. Following the kind of economic downturn brought on by COVID in kind of 2020, the price has steadily increased. And we're currently at 5-year highs for APT, which is ammonium paratungstate. And it's the kind of the reference for our tungsten concentrate. So we're currently at 5-year prices. And to put that in context, that's about 7 times the price that the APT price was when the mine closed in 1990. So, you know, it's the project economics at the moment are extremely attractive. We're estimating that we can make, you know, somewhere between 200 and 210 Aussie dollars per MTU. And with our forecast production of 220,000 MTUs per annum, we think that this makes it a highly profitable project.
What does an MTU mean?
It's a metric ton unit of WO3, and one MTU is 10 kilograms.
Okay. And you're going to be producing, did you say 220,000?
220,000, yeah, MTUs.
Are you going to update the economics of the project, given that the price of tungsten has strengthened, probably since you've done a DFS, or where are you at with that?
Yeah, we are. We're currently kind of confirming all our operating costs. I mean, our project costs and our project budget is pretty much kind of locked in, subject to, I suppose, the current challenges around price escalation and any kind of mitigating costs that we might have to allow for, but we're currently finalizing our operating costs and we will update our financial model with those updated costs probably in the next 2 to 3 months.
So over the next 2 to 3 months, there'll be an update to what this looks like from an economic point of view. But regardless, even if you didn't update those costs, you are going into construction. That's happening right now. And
yes,
then production, yeah. When are we looking at production? Because production gets people excited because it brings in revenue.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's the name of the game, isn't it? That's why we're here. So we're going to commence mining in November this year. So we've got the added advantage that it's an already developed open cut pit. So we're going to be on economic ore, you know, on day one effectively.
Wow.
And we're going to start producing ore and hauling it up to the ROM, the ROM pad, in preparation for commissioning of the plant in kind of later this year. So we hope to finish commissioning in January, and following commission, we'll have a ramp up period, but we're fully confident we'll be able to produce, you know, first concentrate for sale by kind of March 2023.
What, if any, challenges have you got as you go into this construction period, Keith? Or are you confident that this is fairly straightforward? Because sometimes different commodities can come with their own set of challenges. Or is tungsten fairly straightforward? You mentioned a moment ago that it's an open cut and we're going into economic ore straight away. Does that give you an advantage over other developers in the tungsten space?
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's effectively a brownfield development. It has historically operated. So there's a lot of information available from the historic operations. You know, we've proven the resource through recent drilling. You know, we've confirmed that historical information is accurate. I think the processing plant, you know, it's a tried and proven technology. It's gravity separation. We have added the MGSs, which are the multi-gravity separators, which improves our recovery from the finer ore. So we think we can get higher recoveries than what has historically been achieved on the site. But okay, it's a proven kind of flow sheet, effectively. It's open cut mining. So look, there will be challenges, but I don't foresee any significant challenges bringing this mine into operation.
We've talked about the Dolphin Tungsten Mine. What about exploration in and around the mine? Can this expand? How much further can it, and are you putting any of funds into exploration around the area, or are you looking at other projects outside of Tasmania?
Look, we have a 14-year plus mine life at Dolphin, and the current reserve will underwrite that initial 14 years. We do have significant tenure holding around the Dolphin mining lease, and we do plan to undertake some exploration later in the year, around October. We've had some encouraging results, and we're just going back to another area again, just to do some confirmatory drilling around those areas. So I'm confident we can add some more reserves to the current reserve, you know, maybe not this year, but maybe another round of drilling next year. But, you know, with regard to looking at other projects, look, we've got to kind of walk before we can run. And we're committed to the Dolphin project. I think it's important for everyone that we're focused on that project. But yeah, we're certainly going to have a look at other projects as well that make sense. I mean, the challenge for us, Kerry, is that we've got such a high-grade project that most other projects we look at, grade-wise, will be doing well to stack up against. But probably, for, you know, we might look at projects with larger reserve or resource sizes.
With the funding of it, you mentioned that you'd had the $88 million, you got $10 million from the government. Is that covering or getting you into production? Are you going to need to do some find some more debt funding, or is that sorted?
The $88 million includes the $10 million from the Tasmanian government.
Okay.
So it's 88 in total. Look, at the moment the project is funded, but you know there is challenges. Any mitigation that we put into place may end up costing us more money. But look, we're keeping a very tight, you know, hold on our budget, and we hope to be able to, you know, deliver within the current budget.
Well, Keith, it's fascinating times. As you said, you're right into construction at the moment. You're looking to get into production in November this year, which is very exciting time for any company. But we're running out of time. One of the things I always like to ask my beautiful speakers to our audience is, why investors should be sitting up and taking notice of you right now? Is this, you know, because isn't the construction time a little bit of the boring time, or is this, what are the three reasons? Not five, just three.
Okay, yeah. Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk today. I really enjoyed it. I think the three reasons really is tungsten's a critical mineral going forward. So it's got high demand, and it's critically important to economic development. I think number two is the Dolphin Tungsten project. It's high grade, low risk, and it's got very attractive project economics. And I think number three is, I would disagree that construction is boring. I actually very much enjoy construction, period. I think it's a very exciting time on the site. Look, we're a near-term producer. We're near-term revenue. I think a lot of our long-term shareholders have been waiting a long time for this. So look, really, I think the first quarter of next year can't come soon enough for those people. But, you know, I think we all know time flies, so it's not too far around the corner.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. It is a very exciting time for Group 6 medals. And I wanted to get you on because of the name change and also you coming into what I call the hot seat as CEO yes. of Group 6 medals. Sorry about the boring Irish joke at the start, but one of the things that I think, excuse me, is really important, ladies and gentlemen, is we're talking to, it's a near-term producer. This is a critical mineral that is going to be in demand. But more importantly, as Keith said earlier, the grade is important. It's high grade at 0.9, which is 50% above most of the other mines, and also that they will be supplying in a very safe jurisdiction. So as I said at the start, the ASX code is G6M. Please do your own research. Keith McKnight, thanks for joining me today on Small Caps.
Thank you, Kerry. It was a pleasure.